If you will, go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I titled the message, The Best Is Yet to Come, and I do really believe that. And just to see what God is doing, I truly believe He's going to do even greater things. Just touch on a portion of Scripture here. In Jeremiah 29, I won't read all of it. If you will go down to verse 11, I just wanted to touch on these couple of verses very quickly, and then we're going to move around a little bit to other verses this morning, but a very familiar portion of Scripture for many of you. But notice what he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." And notice this, "thoughts of peace and not of evil." And here it is, "to give you," and underline this in your Bible, "an expected end." Verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord." Excuse me. "And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, we know, and just clarifying, this is spoken and preached to specifically the nation of Israel. This is not particularly for the church, the New Testament church age in which we live today, but it has a great message to it because God is unchanging. Amen? He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, today we read very similar thing in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8, and he says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now, I want to remind you of this, that God is for us. He's not against us. I'll talk to a lot of people. They say, "Well, God's against me. God doesn't want me to succeed. God doesn't want me to move forward. God doesn't. He's not for our marriage. Just nothing's working out in our marriage. Nothing working out in our finances." No, God is for you, and He wants to see you prosper. Now, again, he says thoughts of peace, not of evil. Now, he had to add that because they accused God in the earlier chapter of being evil. Literally, "God, you're evil. God," now that's extremely blasphemous and very heretical. But we understand and see that he says, "No, I'm a God that has peace towards you. And thirdly, I want you to have an expected end." If you know you have an expected end or an expectation put on you, it relieves a lot of pressure. You ever been somewhere, worked somewhere, been in a relationship, you didn't know what the expectation was? I was helping a young couple many years ago, and the girl said, "He just won't commit. He won't give me a ring. He won't commit. We just keep dating and dating and What was it? No expectation, no expected end. It brings a lot of unrest and uncertainty. God says, "Listen, I have an expected end for you." Now, I titled the message, "The Best Is Yet to Come," and I truly believe that. Now, again, today we celebrate not just years, 7, but we celebrate the faithfulness of God. We celebrate the amazing work that God has done in and around us. Now, again, I say this, but some of you that haven't been with us very long, some of you have been with us very long, and you've seen God's hand of grace upon us. You've seen God's hand of grace move in this place, and I'm so thankful for that. But for a young church to come with literally 0 people and $0 and start a church and go in just 7 years and have a building like this already, own our own property, 5 acres, 5-plus acres of property, to have what we have, and the amazing thing, we have several pastors have come through and preached for us, and they pastor big churches. I mean, they pastor 300-400 people in their churches, and they do not have some of the stuff that we have. They comment on some of our this stuff, our screens and some of our grounds and our services, what we have, such a beautiful building, and they comment on those things and say, "How old are you, Brother Tim? How old is the church?" I say, "Well, we're about 7 years old." They can't believe it. They just can't believe it. This is what God has done. And this is what God is doing. Now, again, I say this for you. It's you people that have been faithful and praying and seeking God and just showing up. I said on Wednesday, one of the best things you can do is just show up. Well, I can't do much. You can show up. You can be faithful. And that's what God wants from us. So again, we celebrate today the great faithfulness of God. It's easy to look back and say, oh, those were the good old days. But let me remind you, we are living in the good old days right now, right? Don't miss that. Don't miss that. The good old days, we always look back. No, right now we're creating history in our lives and in our church. Now, one day soon, some of you and us are not going to be here any longer. And you're going to look back, or we are going to go, boy, remember those days. I look forward to the day when we show a video like we just did at our 20th year anniversary and look back at all the things that took place. Oh, look at all those good old, no, it's right now. Right now, we are creating history and we ought to be faithful and keep going forward. So again, we look at these things. The best is not behind us. The best is truly still to come. It's still to come. I believe it. I believe the death of a church starts when we stop growing, when we stop pressing on, like we sung this morning, press on the upward way. When we stop growing, we stop pushing forward and looking forward. As soon as that's done, well, we've accomplished what we need. We paid our bills. We got a building. We plateaued. No, we keep pushing forward. Now, I want to say a few things here this morning, and we'll wrap it up, but notice a few things. First, we must celebrate today all that God has done, all that He's done. We celebrate. Now, before we look ahead, we must honor what God has already done in the past. I truly believe this. If we are not thankful for what we have now, He's not going to give us more. If I can't pastor 45, 46, even 56 people, He's not going to give us 500. He's not going to give us more. Why? Because He sees in my heart, oh, He doesn't want it. He's going to see that, oh, He doesn't need that. He doesn't feel the burden for that. He really doesn't want to do that. No, we're thankful for what we have now. And one of the things I appreciate about Brother Adam's message last week was that of thankfulness, but thanking God now, right? Not so much tomorrow or so much for the past, although we should, but it's right now. Because that'll change our whole disposition. That'll change our whole attitude. I'm reminded of the elderly couple, and they came together for their anniversary. And sure enough, she said, sweetie, what are you going to do for our 20th anniversary? It's really a special year. He said, well, I have a great idea. I want to take you to Paris for 20th year anniversary. She said, wow, you're kidding. She said, boy, well, then I can't wait for what you're going to do for our 21st year anniversary. She said, oh, for the 21st anniversary, I'm going to come pick you up. And I'm going to leave you in Paris for a little while there. But you think about that God is still working in a great way, isn't He? He sustained our church. Listen, our church isn't perfect by any means. We've gone through some trials. We've gone through some difficulties. We've gone through some challenges. We would be naive and downright stupid to think that we're not going to have any problems in the future. No, we know there's problems awaiting us. As you grow, there's growing pains, isn't there? As we mature and grow forward, we're going to experience a lot of those things. Some of you were commenting just a little bit ago in the foyer about some of your aches and pains and some of your problems that you're going through. And I think about that. Boy, we're going to go through some of that. But how do we sustain that? We keep celebrating what God has done and what He's going to do. Oh, He's brought us through some challenges over the past. He's brought us through some difficulties. And we started out over in a rented church building, a small little rented church building up in Cedar Crest. And we thought, boy, in Cedar Crest, we're going to reach a lot of people up here, boy. Oh, they're looking, they're hungry for the things of God. If you study Cedar Crest, Sandia Park in Cedar Crest is one of the top wealthiest zip codes in the entire state. Outside of Santa Fe, wealthiest zip codes. And it's not always that wealthy people don't want to hear the gospel, don't want to be in church, but I'm saying it's a tough road up there. We tried it. We tried to invite folks and get them to church. It was a challenge, and we said, well, I think God wants us to be up in here for, we started to pray about that. And our hearts started to move, and we started to talk amongst each other and said, I don't think God wants us up here. We started to pray about it. We said, well, I think God wants us down in the heart of the city, down in Edgewood. And so God moved us over to a little small office space there in Edgewood. You know that. Over there, as you know, by Subway. And we were there for a year. And I said, God, you've got to get us out of here, man. Please. little cramped little space. I mean, it was a tiny, you folks, some of you remember that. It was so small. And we had a tiny little room off to the side. I mean, that thing was probably, what, 4 by 6 or something. I mean, it was little. And we stuffed the kids back there. Here's your kids' class. And they were back there sitting there. And we had a tiny little kitchenette there. And I put a little table in there with a chair, made that my little quote-unquote office. And I said, Lord, you got to get us out of here. We need something better than this. And you don't want to be too arrogant and pray, Lord, thank you for where we are and praising you for that. But also, Lord, please. We began to pray and pray. And as you know, folks know this. I'm sorry for rehashing this because you know it all. But we and the whole process had the plan of building. And we kind of knew what to do. I mean, we had it all planned out, got it ready to go, blueprints submitted to the county. And the county came back and said, you got to change this, this, and that. Okay, we put it, changed everything, got everything put together, submitted it again. They said, no, that's not going to work. You got to change this, this. And we said, what in the world? And we began to pray and pray and said, Lord, we want to know what you want us to do. We already owned the property over there off of Dinkle. We already owned it. Oh, what are we going to do? Just sell the property and do something else? Well, what are we going to do? We didn't know what to do. We began to pray. We stood at that property and we prayed together. And we asked God to show us what to do. And all, lo and behold, this building popped up for sale. And we started to look at it, and you know the story. We came over here, peeked in the windows. Oh, it's too big. Way too big for us. I wonder what they want for it. No way, man. We'd never be able to afford that. And we contacted the people that were selling it, the former church. They were just trying to get kind of their money back out of the church. They had kind of a little bit of a church split, and they just wanted to get their money back out of it. And they said, yeah, this and that. And I said, well, you probably have a bunch of people trying to buy the building. I bet you got a bunch. They said, no, in fact, you're the first one that called. I said, oh. I said, well, the problem is we put a stipulation on it that we will only sell it to another church. We won't sell it to somebody who's going to turn it into an office building or even into a house. We won't do that. I said, oh, really? And I tried to act like we had money, you know. I said, we're asking this much for it. I said, oh, that's a good deal. Yeah. Let me talk to the people of the church. And I'll, you know, we had no money, you know. I said, and I came to a couple of our people, our men and our women, and I said, this is what they want, and this is what they're asking. And we met with a fella that was a part of the deacons of the former church, and he showed us around the building, and super nice guy. And he just began, he said himself, said the Lord started working in his heart. And he said, I like you guys. I like this, you wanting to turn this or keep this a church. And we started talking, communicating. Anyways, the deal kind of went back and forth on the numbers game and did this and that. But praise God, we've now been in it. We were talking a little bit ago. Now almost 5 years. Praise the Lord. Now again, we still don't know how it happened. I mean, I still don't understand how God could take a small group of people with very little money and allow us to have this building. But I'll tell you something. We still serve an almighty God who's in control. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine. And don't you stay up late worrying and twiddling your thumbs and wringing your hands and trying to figure out how you're going to do this or that and what money's going to come in. You just trust God and he'll take care of you. I'm telling you today, I've seen it time and time again. And I believe he's going to allow us to build a $5 million building right out here. Okay, let's not get into that yet. And by the way, if you do want to give toward... No, we won't go there. Okay. But begin praying about that, really. Pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I give? I'll be a little transparent with you this morning, not too transparent. But we don't have a lot of money. You know that. We're able to pay all of our bills. We're able to take and praise God for it. Amen. But I want to ask some of you to start praying about giving. We really need to bolster and build up our savings account. We really do. You know that for a rainy day. I think it'd be very good, wise stewardship, don't you? We'd build up our savings account. We'd build up a little bit more in our account to be able to give. Again, we're pretty tight budgeted each month. And we support right now around 5 missionaries. But I'd sure like to support more than that. I'd like to support 10 and 15 missionaries someday. I'd like to be able to give back in some way if you can. But I want you to pray about that. Pray about giving. Pray about, God, what can I do? What can I how can I serve? Maybe not physically come and serve, maybe not be able to teach a class, but Lord, I could give, I could do something with that money to be able to help and support that ministry. Think about this, we celebrate what God is doing. The Bible says if it had not been for the Lord, we'd be in a mess. The nation of Israel said, if it had not been for God, we would have been consumed by our enemies. This is the Lord's doing, the psalmist says, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now you go back and look at the nation of Israel. Again, they were a ragtag group of people that had no money either. And they came up out of Egypt and said, Lord, what are we going to do? We have no money. We have no weaponry. He says, oh, don't worry. The Egyptians are going to give you everything you need. And the Bible says they went out of Egypt with a high hand. I mean, those Egyptians said, get out of here. We don't want any more plagues put on us. Here, take our earrings and our bracelets and our jewelry. Just take everything. Take anything you want. They came out with a high hand. And God sustained them in the desert and took care of them. If it had not been for the Lord, we would be consumed. Now, today we celebrate that. Can I say again, secondly, that we don't get stuck in the past. We don't get stuck in the past. God is going to do something great in us. Go with me to Matthew 16. Excuse me, Matthew 16. And just a reminder that it's Jesus who's going to build this church. It is Jesus who's going to do the great things. He says there in verse 18, Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What shall thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now again, let me just remind you, he doesn't say, Peter, upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church. Doesn't say that. If you study the Greek there, we understand what he's saying. He's saying, Peter, thou art Peter, Petros, small pebble, upon this rock, capital R-O-C-K, me, Jesus, I will build my church. He's clarifying there. He's giving identity. He said, Peter, you're small pebble, I'm large stone. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the question is, why do so many churches shut down every year? And why do they have so many church splits? And why are there so many issues and things fighting against the church and trying to cause it to cease and desist? We do have an enemy. We do have a real adversary. People are people, and people do cause trouble, and pastors do fail. I said this last week, but just got news again from another individual that I knew personally. He is no longer a pastor. He's disqualified. And I kid you not, there's been about three or four within just the start of the year. We're only in March. Do we have a real enemy? Absolutely. Is he fighting against the pastor? Absolutely. But think about it. Jesus said, if you will stay faithful, if you will do what I've told you to do, Peter, and apostles, and church members, and Faithway Baptist Church, if you'll do what I tell you to do and follow this book, listen, I will continue the church. God will sustain it. God will build it. God will do it. Listen, if you do things God's way, your marriage will make it. If you do things God's way, your children will make it. They're not perfect. They'll mess up. They'll take the long route. They'll take some detours. They will try something from time to time. They'll dabble in sin. They'll mess up. They won't maybe always be pure. But I want to tell you something. I read this morning in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. And what's the rest? When he's old, he won't depart from it. They'll come back. I wonder what I should do. They're sitting on the corner of the bed at 24 years old. Everything's falling apart, and the only thought they have is suicide. That's the only out, because there's nothing else to live for. And what do? Oh, let me call Daddy. Let me call Mama. She'll know what to do. Let me call Grandma. She knows what to do. She loves the book. She loves the Bible. She loves the word. She's always faithful. Amen. I'm telling you. Now think about this. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. So we do celebrate what God has done, but we must also look forward. We think about it. So often these quotes come, we used to have more, we used to do this, we used to do it this way. It just feels different, if you will. And we ought to be careful about comparing ourselves among ourselves because it's not wise. Jesus goes on to say, listen, I'm doing a new thing here. They challenge Jesus all the time about that. And they said, well, Moses said this. What do you say to that? Jesus said, well, I agree with Moses. But let me tell you something. A greater than Moses is here. I get so sick of hearing people, they knock the church and they knock the Bible. They're so shallow and weak. I'm so tired of hearing Christians that are so weak in their faith. Well, I know what we're going to do. You know, they're so scared to just even hand someone a tract, invite them to church. And where's the boldness? Where's the faith? Where's the strength in Christ Jesus that God's still on the throne? Listen, praise God for some righteousness being put back in our country, and thank God for our president and what he's been doing. But listen, he's not God. And thank God for some godly counsel and some good politicians and some senators that are standing up for what's right with this abortion and baby killing and with this same-sex marriage and all of those things. But listen, they're not God. We need the Holy Spirit back in our country. We need the Holy Spirit back in our church. And I believe today the gates of hell will not prevail against our church. I really believe God is going to do something great. And if we're the last church on the backside of nowhere, praise God for it. I commented on Wednesday about somebody mentioning this. Said, we like your church. I said, praise the Lord. And they always say, my church, you know. I said, oh no, it's the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they said this. They said, you preach the Bible. And I always want to say, well, duh. You know, really? Yeah. Right? Well, yeah. But what are they saying? They've been to every church. It's so watered down that a guy gets up for 5 minutes, reads one portion of scripture, and for the next 35 minutes, well, not even that, 20 minutes, what's he give you? Some pop psychology thing about himself. And, well, the latest trend shows, and this person says this, and he's just quoting people. I'm so glad we have a church that preaches the Word of God. I don't do a very good job by any means, but I want to tell you something. The Bible will be preached on Sunday and Wednesday. Thank God for that. Now, we don't get stuck in the past. We don't get stuck in the nostalgia of the past. We look forward. Well, we did it this way at our other church. Well, great. How can you help us grow? Well, I used to do this at my old church. I was a teacher for 25. What happened? Well, I used to really do well, and I could stand up at my workplace. I used to be a public speaker at my workplace, but you get into church, and all of a sudden, it's like, I want to be somebody God can use, and you people are so wonderfully surrendered and love the Lord. Now, look at this. Just a few more, and we'll be done. He has greater promises ahead. He has greater. Haggai, one verse says this, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than this. That he's saying that the future ahead will be greater. He didn't say it'll be the same. He said it'll be greater than. Now, it doesn't mean always bigger buildings and more programs and more activities and even more people. So often people will put numbers and to say that's success. How many do you run? How many people do you have? Oh, they're a successful church. Not always. You get big old churches, and the Spirit of God ain't within 10 miles of that place. You get a church of 1,000 people, and they're rocking out, and they got the fog machines, and they got the lights dimmed down low, and the Holy Spirit ain't within 15 miles of that church. How do you know? The Bible, the Word of God. We don't always do things exciting around here, and don't say amen to that. But some of you want to worship and praise God and, hey, we need to change our music and do more, get a little more exciting, but you won't even open this book on a daily basis. You won't even show up to church when it matters. You and I won't even do with God the simple, basic things. You want to worship and praise God, but you haven't shared the gospel with someone in 10 years. Preaching to myself. This is what I'm saying. We need a church that comes back to the Bible and says, before we do anything else exciting, if you will, let's get back to the basics of Scripture and say, God, help me to do what you called me to do and be bold in my faith. It's easy to be bold in church. It's easy to get praise God, hallelujah in church. It's easy to lift your hands up in church and not be embarrassed, but you won't do it at your family reunion. You won't do it at work. We got some dear brothers and sisters that they keep a stack of gospel tracts on their desk at work. In fact, I won't mention any names, but one of our dear brothers has recently been called into his HR department and threatened because he has these on his desk. And a tranny, transgender person at work said, I feel offended. I feel threatened by that. Called him into HR department. And they threatened him. And you know what he said? Well, you don't know who I'm talking about, but if you did, you know what he said. What he said? I don't need this job. You know, I won't say the old country song, but I don't need this job, right? What's he say? Does he need the job? Yeah. He's got bills to pay. He's got a wife and kids to support. But I want to tell you something. You know what he's saying? I don't serve you. I serve the risen Savior. I don't stand before you on judgment day. I stand before him. And this job, God will take care of me. God will pay our bills. I want to say today, we need people of faith that will stand for him. Praise God. And I know you folks do that so well. Praise the Lord. Oh, I must skip ahead here. He says greater. Greater. Greater things God's going to do. Stay faithful. Stay unified. Stay up. We don't need more splits. We don't need more people getting disgruntled and angry. We don't need more people staying home on Sunday. Well, I'm going to go to another church. Okay. But you know, 9 times out of 10, they don't get up and go to another church. They stay home. Praise God for our social media, for our recording, our live stream. We have several people that can't get out of bed. They're invalid. They can't physically, and they stay home and watch our live stream. Praise the Lord for that. But if you can, get here and be faithful and unify together the brethren. Oh, the devil and adversary is looking for little chinks in the armor, isn't he? He's looking for the weakest link, just one little link on that chain that's weak or bent or bowing, and it'll bust the whole thing open. He's looking for one little area that he can kick the door in. He stick his foot right in the crack of the door and just hold it open, doesn't he? Let that draft come through. He's looking for something like that in your own life, by the way. Dear people that have lost children recently, gone through horrible time, and they're faithful. Some of you, dear people, have gone through some sickness and ailments recently, and you're still faithful. You've dealt with problems and difficulties and challenges at work, and many of you, dear folks, work among people that are so ungodly and so rude and foul and disgusting in what they talk about, and you're just faithful. You just stay faithful. Excuse me, stay unified, stay committed, stay faithful. But we must look at the best, if it is yet to come, it requires faithfulness. It requires faithfulness. Now again, the best is yet to come is not a statement, it's a declaration of faith. Faith in what? In what God can do, in the promises of. Do you believe God? Do you believe he's faithful? Do you believe he's able? Do you believe he holds tomorrow? I know you do. I know you do. But listen, it's not a statement. It's a declaration of who God is. It's a declaration. I declare today who God is. We sang the short hymn of just as I am, without one plea. I come before, just as I, what are we saying? We are declaring the person and character and faithfulness of God, that I can trust him with my life. He's not a God. He's the God. Jesus clarifies this. He says, I am a way, a truth, and a life. Does it say that? No. It's not an indefinite article. It's a definite article. The. I am the way. They said, oh, how can you be exclusive like that? He says, because I'm the Son of God. How can you be the only way? There's got to be other way. No, I am the way. I am the only way. We declare today who He is. We trust God with the unknown. We believe that God is doing something. And listen, this is not our final chapter. I don't believe it is. I believe God's going to return very soon and take us home, and praise God for that. And when the unbelievers come into this church and it's empty and dilapidated because we're all gone, us Christians, us believers, I pray to God they find this Bible on this pulpit, and I believe they find it, they're looking for evidence, and they'll find these all over the building. What did they believe, by the way? Oh, Jesus matters? Oh, okay, huh, here it is. Here's what they believe. See what I'm saying? You know, what would they find in your house? We said it a few weeks ago. Would they have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? They come and ransack your house after you're gone, and they go, well, nothing here. There's a Bible, but it's got a bunch of dust on it, top shelf. Is there anything here? No, there's nothing here. Boy, I want to tell you something, that we need to have faith in God, trusting the unknown to the known God. We have no clue what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. None of us. We have no clue what's going to happen tomorrow, this afternoon, next week. None of us. What are we doing? We're not walking on eggshells. We're not walking the razor's edge every day. No, we're trusting the unknown to a known God. We don't believe it's our final chapter. We expect God to exceed what we've already seen. He's going to exceed it. Do you know God is in the business of addition, but He's even more than that in the business of multiplication? The devil divides and subtracts. Our dear children right now are learning fractions, and they're slowly pushing their way into algebra, and they go, they don't even ask me. Mom, my wife is, she's got that mathematical mind. I don't know what it is, but she knows how to do math. Some of you are good at that, real good at math. And I'm just like, cross fraction? I don't know. I can't figure it out. My brain starts to hurt, and then it swells up, and then I fall over, and I don't know how to. But you think about it. God says, I want to multiply you. Now, not always in numbers. You understand that. But He wants to multiply. I truly believe He wants to exceed what we've already seen. Now, let me close out here. We'll be done here. Excuse me. Even though we don't see it yet, God is preparing something greater and grander. He truly is. I believe it. He's doing something here great. I don't know. But listen, if we don't remain faithful, we're never going to see it. Can you look back in the times in your life and go, boy, I'm glad I didn't quit there, because I would have never seen what God did right here. Right? You could be near when it seems so far. It could be just around the corner when God's going to do something extravagant and great and grand. And then when God does something great with our church, we got a bunch of people who want to jump on the bandwagon. Oh, yeah. It's you folks, the foundational folks that have built and grown and helped us. And I know God's going to do something great. You say you got a lot of pie in the sky kind of mentality. You got a lot of faith, don't you? Well, we have to. Your greatest impact, your greatest reason to grow, your greatest reason to get up tomorrow is trusting the unknown to the known. Is trusting a God that is faithful and that has proven. Listen, don't you forget about what God has done. He's proven Himself true time and time and time again in your life for the last however many years you've been saved. And even before that. He's kept you safe, brother. When you almost died on that motorcycle, that was God keeping you. When you almost died from the plague, we just came through the plague, He's kept you. When you were on the backside of the desert, when you were in the hospital waiting room, when you were pleading with God to bring you through that pregnancy and through that trial and through that difficult season in your life, when you saw no hope and no chance of living, He says, I'm here for you. We're trusting the unknown to the known. And saying, God, I believe the best is still ahead. You know, there's something unique about the Christian, and I'll stop right there, is that we have this incredible thing called HOPE. The world has no hope. The world has a high, H-I-G-H, that's a high. They look forward to high. I want to get high. We have a dear sister here that works in the pharmaceutical world. Ask her, dealing with people all day long. Pill addicted, and they'll do anything to get it. They're looking for a high, aren't they? They're looking for something more. We don't look to the high. We look to the hope. That's the hope. Why do you have such joy? Peter says, be reminded of this, that people come into you, ask you for the reason of the H-O-P-E that's in you. You don't say, what? Well, I'm just kind of a happy person. That's just my disposition. No, you're a Christian child of God. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Oh, you're one of those? Oh, never mind. Oh, no. No, you asked. Come back here. Come here. Let me tell you. We have hope. The world has no hope today. They're looking for the next high. They're just trying to get through today and dreading tomorrow, getting up for work and dealing with the same thing over and over. No, we have hope in Christ. We have hope in Him. And we get up, even though we're hurting and in pain and don't see a lot of things happening, we say, Lord, I trust you. I trust the unknown of today to the known God. My friends, today, I'm so thankful for your faithfulness as we can celebrate today all of what God has done. I believe we ought to have a regular time, not only here, but in your own personal life, where you have a day set aside where you celebrate what God has done. It may be the day you got saved. It may be the day that you joined a church. It may be the day that you got right with God. You remember the day maybe you came forward and prayed and asked God to help and you repented of your sin. You ought to have a day in your life where you say, look, I want to just take time today and say, God, I remember that. What was one of the things the nation of Israel were truly knocked for, if you can say? It was that they kept forgetting all that God did. Lord, we have no water out here. God says, do you not remember last month when I provided? Oh, we have nothing to eat. We remember the leeks and garlics and melons of Egypt. He said, do you not remember how I provided food for you yesterday? Oh, Lord, we don't. That's exactly what he got on them for. About that very thing of failing to remember what God has done. My friends, we are taking time to say, God, we rejoice in you. We give it to you. We thank God. We rejoice. We believe. And we truly believe the best is yet to come. Whatever it be for you today, I thank God for all of you being so faithful and so encouraging and so helpful. And your sacrificial help and sacrificial giving. We're able today to join and gather together and have our lights on. Have the AC run or the heat. It takes God's people coming together and saying, I want to do more for Him. Why? Because one day, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We won't stand before Him and say, well, okay, I noticed in 2026 you only made this much. I want to get a full report of your income. He won't say that. What will He say? What did you do for me? What did you do for me? As a teenager, what did you do for Christ this past week? Was it all about you? Was it all about your schooling and your activities and your sports? What did you do for Him? Mama, what did you do for Christ this last week? Was there prayer? Was there Bible reading? Was there pleading with Christ? Was there service of the Lord? Was there prioritization? Daddy, what did you do for Christ this week? Was there prioritization in the home of Christ? No. Not really. Are you looking to Him? We will soon stand before the Lord, and He may say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We weren't perfect. We failed a lot. But He'll say, faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you. And then it says this, who also will do it. He's faithful. And we are to emulate Christ. Christ is faithful. We're faithful. But we couldn't have done it without you. Praising God for today, thanking Him for all that He's doing and what He's going to do in the future. We're a church of hope. We're a church of enthusiasm and excitement. Amen. Okay. And we're going to do things God's way, and we're going to do it the Bible way. And I'll tell you something. I've learned this over the years now, that if I'll stay aligned with this book, I can't lose. I just can't lose. I cannot fail. You keep your life aligned to this book, and by God's grace, our church will stay aligned to this book. Amen. Would you stand with me? Thank you. I better stop right there. Excuse me. And Father, we thank you for this morning. I hope something said was an encouragement and help. And Father, I pray that you'd help us now. We're utterly dependent upon you. The only reason we're standing here with a heartbeat in our chest and able to breathe fresh air is because of your grace and goodness. It's not because of us. And we want to acknowledge today that it's you. What you've done, it's marvelous in our eyes. We look forward to the days ahead. And I pray that you'd work and help us, God, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.